were standing on a mountain top where the cactus flowers grow. I was wishing that the world would stop.
I think this is the most broad definition of emergency powers I've ever seen a president award to themselves. And it really is virtually dictatorial powers, the ability to take over and manage all levels of government, including private sector organizations. And the directives have no indication that to get these powers, the president has to go to Congress.
We were dreaming life, the end was not inside. And we dreamed all afternoon. We asked the world to wait so we could celebrate a gringo honeymoon. We stepped out onto the golden sand.
The American Republic is in remnant status. The stage is set for our country eventually devolving into a military dictatorship, and few seem to care. These precedent-setting changes in the law are extremely dangerous and will change American jurisprudence forever if not revised.
We walked in the first place we could see, serving cold beer in the shade. We were drinking lime, it was not inside. And we drank all afternoon. We asked the world to wait so we could celebrate a gringo honeymoon. Met a cowboy who said that he was running from the DEA. He left a home, a wife and family when he made his getaway. We followed him on down a street of dust to his rundown one room shack.
But now they've denied the entire Homeland Security Committee of the United States House of Representatives access to their so-called detailed plan to provide for continuity of government. They say, trust us. Trust us, the people who brought us Katrina, to be competent in face of a disaster. Trust us, the people who brought us warrantless wiretapping and other excesses eroding our civil liberties. Trust us. Maybe the plan just really doesn't exist, and that's why they won't show it to us. I don't know. Or maybe there's something there that's outrageous. The American people need their elected representatives to review this plan for the continuity of government.
Gentlemen, it's time.
He knew a crusty caballero. Played an old gut string guitar. And he sang like Marty Robbins could, played like no one I've known. For a while we knew that life was good, it was ours to take back home. We were singing like it was not inside, and we sang all. We were standing on a mountaintop where the cactus flowers grow. I was wishing that the world would stop when you said, better go.
Hey, everybody. Hey, welcome back to the New World Out of Order. Hey, this episode, we're going to be talking about the state of emergency that is still declared in the United States, unbeknownst to a lot of people, and unfortunately also unknown to a lot of congressmen. The state of emergency that we're under was initially implemented in after 9/11. It was actually on September the 14th. President Bush issued a state of emergency. And of course, everyone can imagine why, because of the attacks of 9/11. Now, the state of emergency that was issued, a lot of people don't realize that what happens when they issue a state of emergency is it immediately suspends some laws and it activates other laws. And those actual laws that it suspends and activates, you would think would be very forthcoming, very stated in black and white. And I'm sure they are, but unfortunately, we're not allowed to look at them. And even Congress is even allowed to look at the majority of them. And give you just a little bit of history, what I've learned about the state of emergency. Let's see, back in, 1973, the Senate, they created a special committee on the termination of the National Emergency Act, and of a declared national emergency, and their purpose was to investigate, the matter and to propose any reforms if it was if the actual declaration and the termination, both of national emergencies, if they were being abused or not implemented according to the Constitution. Well, as a result, from back in 1973, they ascertained that the continued existence of four presidential declarations of national emergency, special committee reported that these proclamations give force to 470 provisions of federal law, and taken together, they confer enough authority to rule the country without reference to normal constitutional processes. Under the powers delegated by these statutes, the president may seize property, organize and control the means of production, seize commodities, assign military forces abroad, institute martial law, seize and control all transportation and communications, regulate the operation of private enterprise, restrict travel, and in a bunch of different ways, essentially control the lives of all American citizens. Well, that if you think about this, now this is what was understood and reported back in 1973 as to the proclamation of a or declaration of a national emergency, what that really meant. Okay, now what's even more important is once a president and a an administration declares a state of emergency, the law is that within 6 months, no later than 6 months after the declaration of state of emergency, the Congress must review the reason that the state of emergency was declared and whether it needs to be continued or terminated. That has never happened. The state of emergency was implemented on September the 14th, 2001, and has been renewed on a regular basis ever since then. That in itself is very unusual. I mean, considering that we haven't had any terrorist attacks, and of course, if you really understand that there never were any real terrorist attacks anyway, that the terrorists were unfortunately an enemy from within. So it's been 11 years since we've had this supposed terrorist attack. So why do we still need a state of emergency declared, which actually suspends part of our Constitution? And it actually most likely suspends all of the Constitution. See, that's what we don't know. Let me just tell you something else here. And I'm citing a fantastic article. This is one of several I'll probably put on the website. I'll actually put links, as usual, to all my sources here. And this article is on a site called constitutionallyblogspot.com. and it's titled Investigation into Whether America is Still a Constitutional Government. Well, let me read you this. The reason that I say that we don't know whether the Constitution is in whole or in part suspended upon the declaration of a national emergency, and this is why. In this article, it says that it's also clear that the White House has kept substantial information concerning its presidential proclamations and directives hidden from Congress. For example, according to Steve Aftergood of the Federation of American Scientists Project on Government Secrecy, of the 54 national security presidential directives issued by President George W. Bush, the titles of only about half have been publicly identified. There is descriptive material or actual text in the public domain for only about a third. In other words, there are dozens of undisclosed presidential directives that define U.S. national security policy and task government agencies, but whose substance is unknown either to the public or, as a rule, to Congress. So, that's what they found out. It's that the 54 national security presidential directives issued by George W. Bush, there's only about a third of them, the content of these directives, the purpose, the actual wording of these, there's only about one third of those that's actually known to either public or Congress. Now, you know, this is where you have to use common sense, people. Our Congress, the reason that we have, you know, the judicial branch and the legislative branch and the administrative branch is so each one can provide the checks and balances on the other one. In other words, the Constitution is there. One of the reasons that one of the things that it states is that neither branch can go off and do anything, can declare law without approval review by the other branches. That's how it's written. So in other words, here is the administrative branch, or I'm sorry, the executive branch, that is issuing these presidential directives, which is circumventing in whole or in part the Constitution, and it is not, has not been reviewed, has not even been viewed by Congress. They're not even aware of this. So, okay, you have to use common sense there. That's not right. That's another reason that we have to make sure that we as a people fight for the constitutional law. You know, we need to get this country back under constitutional law. All these things, such as the Patriot Act, the state of emergency proclamation, the laws that go into effect, those need to be eradicated, because they are totally against the Constitution. Now, there's other information regarding this the state of emergency, which is actually pretty interesting here. Let me just read you here. 6 months after the state of emergency was issued, Bush decided to leave the operation in place. Agencies, including the White House and top civilian cabinet departments, have rotated personnel involved and are discussing ways to staff such a contingency operation under the assumption it will be in place indefinitely. That's what the White House official said. So, 6 months after the declaration of the state of emergency, September the 14th, 2001, White House official is stating that Bush had decided to leave the operation in place and to actually start rotating out civilian and White House personnel under the assumption that it will be in place indefinitely. That is, in other words, what that is essentially installing a shadow government. We don't know what the government is. We don't know who they are. We don't know what laws are applied. And now, you know, I know this sounds like far-fetched, but if you look at and really understand that when they declare a state of emergency, if we do not know, and our congressmen do not know the laws that are being, you know, overridden and the laws that are being activated, that is a shadow government. Okay. We don't even know the officials that are being put into place. Okay. Now this actually rolls into the continuity of government plans. Now, when the 9/11 attacks happened, the continuity of government plan was enacted and implemented is by actually Vice President Cheney. He enacted that, and what that does is it actually it's a contingency plan which it creates a new government in the case of a threat to the abilities of the American government to continue its operations. And that's in case of a natural disaster or terrorist attack, you know, health scare, you know, epidemic or whatever. And what happens with on the continuity of government, when that's implemented, is the top leaders of the new government would entirely or largely go into hiding. They go into the bunkers, and you know, everybody knows about that. Those within the new government would also know what was going on, but those in the old government, and that's the government that we still see, they don't necessarily know what's going on. They don't know who's in charge. So in other words, let's put this in perspective. Back in when Cheney declared, and I'm not even sure if he's allowed to declare or implement the continuity of government action, but he did back in 2001. So when he puts that into place, there are certain government officials, be existing or newly appointed by the implementation of the plan, that go into hiding. They go into the bunkers or, you know, different various locations, but they're in hiding. So we don't know who they are necessarily, and we don't know where they are necessarily. That's who's running the government. And like I say, there again, we don't know that. We still see the government officials that are in place, and they are still acting in accordance to their position, because they don't even know that they are not. They don't necessarily know. A lot of the congressmen do not know that they are not effective once this plan is implemented. That is a shadow government. You know, this continuity of government plan was kind of leaked out. And there again, to have a continuity government plan, you know, is almost essential if you think about it. Sure, if there is a huge natural disaster that wipes out, you know, Washington, D.C., and, you know, everybody happened to be home at the time, in other words, president, vice president, and all the congressmen were there, you know, there needs to be a continuity of government plan put into place. The problem with it is the continuity of government plan does not need to be secret. There's just no reason for it to be kept secret. Especially from the congressman. Well, back when in the Iran-Contra hearings with Oliver North, it actually came out that Oliver North had created this plan of continuity of government. And one of the senators, I can't remember his name right now, but he was asking, he was on the Iran-Contra hearing committee, he was asking Oliver North about this, not directly, but indirectly. He wasn't asking for the details about it. And the committee head, he stopped that question, and he said that would have to be, that is national security, and it was you could actually feel it. You could actually watch the videos and understand that this is not good. So the actual congressman repeated the question. Maybe he reworded it just a little bit, but there again, it was Representative Inouye from Hawaii, who was actually the head of the committee. He stopped the senator again and told him, do not ask that. That would have to be discussed in private. So, you know, the continuity of government plan, you know, somebody needs to explain to me why it has to be totally secret. You know, is the locations where our bunkers and things like that, I kind of understand that. But the actual action and the laws that go into place, the laws that are overridden, those do not need to be and should not be secret. So now if you think about it, you know, since then, you know, if they implemented the continuity government plan, okay, also the normal laws and legal processes, they would be largely suspended and superseded by, you know, the secretive laws that we don't know about. And also the media would be ordered by law And this is actually speculated, because like I said, we don't know exactly what's in the continental government, but it's highly thought that the media would be restricted by some of these new laws and punishable by treason to only promote stories authorized by the new government. If you look at this, I mean, so we are still in a state of emergency, and there's no reason to be in a state of emergency, and we need to get that changed because, you know, under the guidelines of the state of emergency, the laws the constitutional is overridden partially. It doesn't need to happen. But also, the question is, are we still in the continuity of government plan? Is it still implemented? I don't know. I have not been able to find that out. But if you look at some of the things I just reviewed about what happens when the continuity government plan is implemented, then there's a possibility. Because if you think about what's happened since then, I mean, you know, the government has suspended habeas corpus. You know, any American now can be detained and held against their will for any reason, and no charge, no trial. They've been spying on Americans, and you know, that's I'm not sure if people have been watching the news recently, but there's like you know the social networks, primarily Facebook, and then also Google Plus, Twitter. They've all been instructed by Department of Homeland Security to start monitoring the activities of everyone on those sites and more as well. And they were trying to identify people that are supposedly terrorists. But what they really, I mean, it's very obvious what they're really doing is they're identifying people that are actually people like us that are figuring out what's going on and are starting to speak out against the government. And we're offering some vigilance. There's some articles out there called, the 35 words that will get you, you know, targeted by Homeland Security on Google Plus and Facebook. In fact, I'll go ahead and put one of those on my website as well. There again, the website, nwo3.com. It's nwo3.com. And then also the government won't enforce laws. And that's what's, you know, surprising. And you know, we've talked about this in the past as far as the illegal immigration and the new North American Union coming about. The immigration laws, that's just one example of what they won't enforce. And they've, you know, whether you know it or not, they've been kind of, you know, deputizing corporations to act as extensions of Department of Homeland Security in these spying efforts. And if you, one of the things, as far as the spying efforts are concerned, one of the things I would encourage you to look at is the FEMA fusion centers. And you can go out there and Google it. FEMA fusion centers there's an excess of 72 of these fusion centers right now. And they're activated throughout the United States, fully staffed. And these are civilians. And they don't report to anybody that they can tell of. Essentially, they have no mission. They have no guidelines. They have no do's and don'ts. But what they're supposed to do is essentially spy on Americans and identify whoever, according to what they believe is a potential terrorist or threat to our government. So Google FEMA fusion centers, FUSION. And then also, if you're not aware too, that you know, another reason why we might suspect that we are still under continuity of government is that, you know, FEMA has been FEMA and or Department of Homeland Security have been actually training pastors to reach out and to their congregation and to start preaching the obedience to martial law. And you know, there again, this is something that you can go out there and Google. There's, you know, it's not there again, it's not reported in mainstream media, but this is something that's definitely going on. And you can probably, if you look hard enough, I'm sure that you can find a pastor in your area that has been contacted and possibly, you know, trained you know, to talk about, you know, martial law and, you know, that it's going to be needed if we have a big terrorist attack and we need to be all to obey the martial law, things like that. Well, no, you know, if you can already, if the government can foresee martial law coming, you know, this far in advance and already anticipate vigilance against it by the citizens, then, you know, and this martial law is supposedly going to be enacted because of terrorist attack. If they can see this for coming this long with this type of detail need to be put in place, why can't they just go stop the terrorist attack? So, you know, it's just common sense that, you know, actually asking the preachers to go out here and you know, start telling their congregations to, when martial law, if and when martial law comes, to be very obedient and whatever. Okay. You know, people, you can't like that. I mean, you just, there's no way that you can like that. So, all right, listen, I'm going to cut this one short because I just thought it was important. Everybody knows about this. Go out there and look into, you know, the U.S.'s current status of, as far as being in a state of national emergency, and check out the continuity of government plans, and also check out the one that I meant to mention this, the National Security Presidential Directive number 51. Now, you need to go out there and view that. You're not going to find any, you know, hard concrete, you know, you're not going to find any government documentations printing the actual verbiage on this presidential directive, because this is one of the ones that's not known supposedly by us or Congress. And let me just read this for you here, too, as far as this Presidential Directive 51. 2007, President Bush issued Presidential Directive 51, which purported to change continuity of government plans. I've argued elsewhere that issuance of Presidential Directive 51 does not prove that continuity government plans are not in effect currently, and that's the author of the story. However, if continental government plans are not currently in effect and were somehow secretly rescinded between 9/11 and the present, you know, despite of a continuing declaration of state of emergency, it's important to note that Presidential Directive 51 was passed without congressional input. And in implementation of the continuity of government has been continuously hidden from Congress. And then even the New York Times actually wrote had an editorial about this, and it states that one of the lines in it, beyond cases of actual insurrection, the president may now use military troops as a domestic police force in response to a natural disaster, a disease outbreak, a terrorist attack, or to any condition he chooses. Changes of this magnitude should be made only after thorough public airing. But these new presidential powers were slipped into law without hearing or public debate. So, anyway, go out there and check out the continuity of government plan, the status of the U.S. state of emergency, and use your common sense. And you're gonna, if you do that, I feel very comfortable that you're gonna decide that this is something that is not necessary at this state in the game. And if you start putting all the pieces together, it's not only not necessary, it's very dangerous for us as citizens right now. And so we need to go ahead and hit the congressman as far as the state of emergency, and just keep banging on their email address, their door, the telephone, and let them know, hey, you know, come clean with this. Why is this still here? And let's get this, let's get it terminated. We don't need to be in a state of emergency anymore. All right, guys. Appreciate it. You guys take care, and we'll talk to you soon.